I have no conflicts or so, and I'm also technologically challenged. So moving forward.
On the left.
Okay. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Chester Smalls, who's a graduate research assistant, and Suzanne Coulter. Dr. Coulter is the project coordinator for the two projects I'll be describing today. The projects I'll be talking about were funded as part of ERA through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and our basic activities are funded through a surveillance contract between the University of Missouri and DHSS, which in turn has a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. All U.S. states have laws requiring facilities to report new cancer cases to a central cancer registry. And when you were talking, I was thinking, gee, you all should have talked to us in cancer registries about setting up your registries, because we have standardized data elements and a standardized data layout, as Iris mentioned. And we have had a long history of this. All states, hospitals in the U.S. and Canada follow the North American Association of Central Cancer Registries, NACER, guidelines in the data elements. The standard setters and funding agencies determine what data elements we're going to collect. And, for example, we're funded by CDC. Some registries are funded by the National Cancer Institute. And we have the same basic set of core elements that we all collect. Specific agencies may require different ones, but it doesn't matter what software you use, you end up in a standard data layout with standardized data elements. And then states and agencies can have specific state-added or agency-added areas in the layout for state-added questions that are specific to a state. If an agency wants to fund a specific project, that agency will have an area set aside in the layout, but everyone can use that who is doing the pilot project can have that. So it's standardized within a certain area. And this makes it much easier to from one software to talk to another, for one registry to talk to another and understand what we're doing. But we do have a number of challenges. And among these that I'll be talking about today are obtaining accurate race ethnicity information, capturing cases diagnosed in physician offices or small caseload hospitals. Difficult to capture the physician office cases because it's expensive and time-consuming, and we don't have many registries, most registries don't have the resources to, even though we might have a law in our state requiring them to report, if they only have 6 cases a year or 25 cases a year, idealistically, I once wanted to capture every case. Now I'm more realistic and say we're going to capture over 95% of the cases, and we're going to try to capture everyone, but we know that we don't have the resources to do that, so we take that into account. Small caseload hospitals, circuit riding, we used to send people out to the hospitals. Now we have them copy excerpts from the medical record, but it would be much more efficient if we could bring it in electronically from their EHR. And then obtaining complete treatment information is difficult because for the small hospitals that don't do the treatment in-house, particularly chemo, they are done in freestanding cancer treatment centers, and so we have the same problem that we have with physician offices. So why is this important? Well, missing or inaccurate race ethnicity data complicates the difficult task of reducing cancer disparities in minority populations. And underreporting of cases is largely due to lack of human and financial resources, as I just described. So IT offers the possibility of improving both data quality and case completeness. And I'm going to talk about two projects. I was, excited about these projects and overly enthusiastic when I submitted my abstract, because either one of them would take up 20 minutes. So I'm just going to skim highlights. The first one is to improve quality of race ethnicity data by analyzing existing data in the MCR ARC database, and we have over 1 million records. We collect we process 60 to 70,000 records a year. That translates into nearly 30,000 Missouri cancer incident cases, and we have case-sharing agreements with 20 states, and all 8 of our bordering states and other states where our residents may be treated. And then from an IT perspective, the second one, project number 3, to increase case completeness and improve timeliness by importing data from primary care and talking to the specialty physician office EHRs, is the more exciting one if you're a technical person. And the purpose of these, there are 2 of these, each of these projects funded by CDC. So this is these are demonstration projects, and the purpose is we want to use innovative yet practical approaches that can be replicated or adapted by other CCRs. Central Cancer Registries. We started this in December of last year, and it runs through September 30th of 2013. So the objects of my presentation are to describe how we used IT to improve race and ethnicity data quality and obtain previously unreported cases and treatment information. And I have 4 specific learning objectives: to identify the role played by data linkages in improving race and ethnicity data, discuss the consequences of having missing or inaccurate race and ethnicity data on efforts to reduce cancer disparities, list 2 reasons why cases that are diagnosed and treated in physician offices often go unreported, and describe the steps we've taken to improve this. And so we're on project 1, we're analyzing existing data to identify facilities with a higher percent of missing race and ethnicity data. Then we will develop an educational program to train all reporting facility staff, but we will focus specifically on those that we think are in greater need, and we will also conduct linkages with other databases. And I've already mentioned we have rules about everything in cancer reporting. And one of those is the ordering of multiple race fields. So we our software automatically does database checks to verify that white is coded after non-white races. And 100% of the time that happens. The reason we do it this way is because in many states, most states, Missouri is certainly one where we have about 88% white, 87% white, 11.5% African American, and other races make up just a very small component. So every minority case that is missed has a bigger consequence than if one white case is missed. So we looked at other rules, and in all cases that had more than one race, we only found one with an error. The more specific should be coded before the less specific. And this one case had Asian Pacific Islander NOS coded before Hawaiian. Hawaiian trumps everything else because there are a very small number of Native Hawaiians. And so we thought, great, we only have one error. And we verified this with the reporting facility. But then we learned that white was a third race and it couldn't be transmitted. We don't know yet whether that is a hospital-specific problem, a software-specific problem, or what, but we have to look into that. So conclusions on race: when multiracial information is entered, it's being coded correctly by hospital CTRs, but the multiracial information is incomplete in our database. And we have less than 0.5% of all cases that are multiracial. But we didn't start collecting race 1 through race 5 until the past decade. And the data we were looking at goes back to 1972, population-based from 1996 onward. The increase in the multiracial component and the non-white component in Missouri has been largely after 2000. And it is in a younger population, but even so, that adjusting for age doesn't account for the difference. And so we think that we have 2 problems. 1, that earlier period when only one race was collected, and 2, hospitals are not collecting multi-race. The gold standard is to ask a patient or have the patient enter it, not to look at someone, and we have too many hospitals that don't do it the way that it should be done. How am I doing on time?
You're fine.
Okay. The Hispanic ethnicity, up until 2000, Through 1990, 85% of all Hispanics in Missouri lived in the Kansas City metropolitan area. Very old Hispanic population came in at the beginning of the 20th century with the railroads. It is only after, in the mid to late 90s and accelerated after 2000, that the Hispanic population in Missouri has spread out. And so we have it scattered throughout the state, but primarily outside metropolitan areas in the southwest, in popcorn factories in the northern part of the state, in chicken factories and other things. And this tends to be a younger population. The older Hispanic population is still around Kansas City. So we have two ways of coding. We have the direct adding just are you of Hispanic origin, yes, no. And then there is a NAHIA-derived algorithm where you take the Hispanic name of the birthplace, and they threw us a kicker last year adding percent of Hispanics in the county at diagnosis. This is important because we missed it. And we just went with the default value, and I told you that they've dispersed. Well, when we took out the counties that had less than 5% Hispanic, it resulted in a 16% drop in the number of Hispanics. The reason we have directly coded Hispanic ethnicity at a very high unknown rate is we've discovered that some hospitals set their software to either record Hispanic is no or unknown because they didn't expect to have any Hispanics in their neighborhood. And we've got to get that changed. That's why education and training is needed. So, our conclusion is that because you have so many unknowns, we have limited usability for our Hispanic data in Missouri. The traditional methods are under collecting information. Sensitivity makes it difficult, NAHIA makes it difficult to have faith in our Hispanic cancer statistics, and we need additional sources. One additional source is the patient abstract system. This is the hospital discharge system. And this contains demographic information for patients admitted to any hospital in Missouri or even seen in their ER and in some freestanding centers. And we look at all records because a cancer patient could be treated for some other diagnosis. So we're trying to link these, and we use the CDC's free Link Plus software, and we've linked years 2001 through 2008. And you can see from this slide, about 2,500 patients, mostly of those currently coded as white, have at least one different non-white race in the patient abstract system. That race should be coded as race one, not white, as was in our database. And we increased by nearly 8% the other races, and we identified 6.3% more Hispanic using this system. We did a five-year project with Washington University in St. Louis to look at the neighborhood impact on quality of life in breast cancer survivors. When we directly asked the patients, we started out with about 200 unknown ethnicity. We identified 15 of Hispanic ethnicity and only had one unknown. So you can see that using multiple ways to obtain race ethnicity data is a way of improving your data. Now, the last project is, this is where the IT comes in even more. We are partnering with our Missouri Health Information Technology Assistance Center. This is Missouri's regional extension center to identify electronic health record vendors and physician offices implementing approved vendor EHRs, approved for meaningful use. And we also are targeting non-reporting oncology practices, specifically urologists and hemocs that treat leukemia and lymphomas. These are the cases that are most likely to be treated outside a hospital setting that we're missing. Dermatology, clinics, melanoma, skin cancer is also treated outside a hospital setting mostly, but we do have them reporting either electronically or on paper. And we will next year target small critical access hospitals that, as I mentioned earlier, report by submitting copies of medical records. Now, I went to HIMSS earlier this year and was astounded to find that EHR vendors can be certified for meaningful use without following OMB guidelines on race and ethnicity, that you ask what one or more races and what race do you most closely identify with, and the Hispanic ethnicity question should be asked before the race question. Well, they haven't made any provision for multiple race fields. And the responses from the vendors varied from, well, you can put it in a state-added field, or you don't know what you're talking about. I'm certified for meaningful use, and so, therefore, I must be doing it right. To, oh, well, that's easy. We can just add in four more race fields. The reason we don't want it in a state-added field is this is a demonstration project for uniformity. We don't want to do something that can't be done by everyone. And the real kicker was that in some EHR systems, it's even possible to choose Hispanic as race and African American as ethnicity, as long as you also have Hispanic under ethnicity and African American under race. That's really going to screw up our data. Our physician offices, well, one clinic withdrew because cancer is not in stage one of meaningful use. This reinforces the idea that we need to pay attention to comment periods, and we think that cancer is going to successfully make it into stage two of meaningful use, but stage two we think is being delayed. And we have an initial meeting with a clinic that has committed, scheduled for early next month. We're really excited about that. But we're the show-me state, so while we were waiting on this, we had the opportunity to become a third participant in an NCI-funded project on automated processing of cancer-related data conducted by QuantumMark with the software being developed by Artificial Intelligence in Medicine, AIM. EPATH software is used by all NCI-SEER-funded registries. And we partnered with the University of Missouri School of Medicine, Departments of Pathology and Radiology, extracted reports of central nervous system neoplasms from CAT scans and MRI reports, imported the data into a separate database, and these data, the text, are currently being analyzed. This is just a schematic of how the diagnostic imaging system works. One of the things that we found out is this is the way it works if you want real-time reporting. In cancer, we don't care whether we get it today or tomorrow or next month. And so we found that we could create this extract file, import the extract file directly without as a one-time data dump for all of 2009 data, which to us makes it more usable because we may be able to get the data from hospitals that wouldn't want to invest in the software. Well, come on. I guess
it's stepping through your graphics. Keep going.
Oh, I see. I told you I was technologically challenged. That's why I should never use someone else's slides. Okay. So in conclusion on importing data, it was successful. It's useful both for case finding and assessing quality of completeness of previously reported cases. We do audits. We're required to do audits of every hospital. We have 125 in Missouri. We have to audit each one at least once every 5 years. It's time-consuming and expensive to go out to the facility. If we can import data like this and use it for our case-finding audit and even for a reabstracting audit, we could save a lot of money. And while details remain to be worked out, importing data from physician office and clinic EHR is expected to have similar usefulness and be done in a similar manner. I'm part of a CDC-sponsored clinic physician office work group that is trying to determine what are the key elements that should be reported. We haven't made that determination yet, and what protocol should be followed. In the meantime, we don't care how we get it, as long as we get it. And so if it's easier for the physician office to just give us a data dump for a patient, we'll take that and sort it out ourselves rather than wait for a standardized protocol. So our expectation is we'll have positive outcome for MCR, and MCR is our cancer registry. MCR and the research center is our a whole expectation. We also expect it will be positive for CDC. We will improve data quality, completeness, and timeliness. And we're supposed to find a way for collaborations to continue beyond the funding period. That's what we're working on. That's always the kicker. And then the big picture, we hope that other NPCR-funded cervical cancer registries will adopt or adapt. Reducing the number of missed cases and improving timeliness has implications for surveillance and comparative effectiveness research. And we hope that it will better describe and reduce disparities in population subgroups so that we can improve the health and well-being of residents of our country. And we hope that, therefore, IT can improve data quality and cleanliness, minority and underserved populations can benefit, and health disparities can be reduced. Thank you very much. I hope you could follow that rather rapid bam, bam, bam.